I grew up in Chicago, the oldest of three siblings. Hope I'm going to be able to get through this. We were brought up in the Catholic Church. My parents were faithful to bring us to church every Sunday. They also sent us to Catholic grade school, and I chose to attend a Catholic high school in Chicago. While in grade school, a friend's family was really involved in the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church. I attended these meetings with my friend and her family. I really enjoyed that time. There was a lot of singing and worshiping of the Lord, Bible reading. However, I do not remember a gospel message really being given at that time or in a clear call to repent and faith in Christ. There was certainly a form of godliness, but there seemed to be a lack of the true power of God. Nevertheless, as a young girl, I do remember going to church and having a desire to be close to God. I had even considered becoming a nun. A small group of girls and I would stay after school periodically to spend time with one of our teachers who was a nun, although I don't really remember the conversations, being about the Lord. My family life was strained. My parents' relationship was not the best, and divorce had been discussed in our home. When I was 12, my mother developed a blood clot in her brain and almost died. She had surgery to relieve the pressure of the clot, leaving her paralyzed on the right side of her body. She was confined to a wheelchair at the age of 32. This was especially hard as she had been a nurse as well. We grew up quickly as children and had many responsibilities in helping our mom with her new disability. During my teenage years, I dated a young man for 4 years with the intention of getting married. However, our relationship was not pleasing to the Lord. We both were involved in the partying scene and sinful behavior. At that time, after high school, I enrolled at Lutheran General Hospital School of Nursing, and during that first year of nursing school, I began to have a lot of doubts about my boyfriend and where our relationship was at. I desired less and less of the partying, singing, and drinking, and I was not feeling right about marrying him. This led to our relationship ending. During this time, there was a tragic fire in my parents' home, and our home was completely burnt down. We were all in the house, with the exception of my sister, and all of our lives were spared. This tragedy helped me to become more aware of eternal things. At the start of my second year of nursing school, I was sharing an apartment with two roommates. One of my roommates decided to pursue another career and left nursing school in our apartment. Another one of the nursing students needed a roommate, and she moved into our apartment. Well, this was part of God's amazing providence. As Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This young woman named Debbie was a born-again Christian. She was devoted to Christ and was walking with him daily. We lived together for 2 years, and I saw her faith in Christ lived out daily before me. She read her Bible, she loved Jesus, and she loved me. I had many questions for her, and she shared the gospel with me. I had many things on my mind, having just ended my relationship with my boyfriend and having a real struggle with my home life. My mother struggled with depression due to her disabilities and at times wanted to end her life. She also was an alcoholic and had struggled with alcohol as well. My roommate and now very good friend, Debbie, was attending a Bible study sponsored by Nurses Christian Fellowship, which is a part of InterVarsity Fellowship. She invited me to go, and I started attending faithfully every week. There were six or seven other nursing students and a Lutheran deaconess named Sister Bertha, and she was about 80 years old, and she loved Jesus. It was so great to have her in that Bible study. We were studying the book of Romans, which was the perfect book for me to be studying at that time. And this was my first introduction to a Bible study. Being brought up Catholic, I believed that I was going to be going to heaven based on my good works, that I was a pretty good person. I tried to rationalize my sin, telling myself that it really wasn't that bad, but even though deep in my heart, I knew that it was. Thinking that God would forgive me and not hold it against me. Well, as I studied the book of Romans, I became greatly aware of my sin, that indeed I was a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:12, there is none who does good, no, not one. I became aware that when I died, I would be going to hell and not heaven. And I remember that being such a heavy weight upon me. The death of Christ became personal to me, that Jesus died for me. Romans 5:8 says, for God demonstrates his own love toward us, and even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me and died for me and made a way for me to be in right standing with God the Father. I remember the four spiritual laws. It was a little tracked, being presented to me at some point, and the question being asked, who is on the throne of your life, you or God? Well, I knew that Jesus was not on the throne of my life, that self was on the throne. After one of our Bible studies, the leader, Arlen, she was a nurse also, asked me if I wanted to ask Christ to come into my heart and repent of my sin. And this was probably about maybe 4 or 5 months of going through the book of Romans. And so I knew I did want to do this, and I knew that it was going to change my life forever, that I was not going to be the same person. And I would not be leading the lifestyle I had been living. Well, this was on November 8th, 1979. There in the basement of the School of Nursing at Lutheran General Hospital, I repented of my sin, and I asked Christ in total faith to come into my life. Immediately, Arlen very, very wisely said, well, let's go and tell the other girls who are in the Bible study that you have just given your life to Christ. And I thought, the first thought that came into my mind was, what in the world did I just do? And I knew that it was Satan who was putting that thought in my mind, the father of lies, and that he had lost another person. I was no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness, but a child of the King, King Jesus. I was now a part of the kingdom of light. It was very good for me to testify right away to my allegiance to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I confess to you today that Jesus is my Savior, my God, and my King. I do want to serve him, know him more intimately. God has been faithful throughout all the years. My life has changed dramatically since the day of my salvation. I long to have a close relationship with Christ, getting to know him in a deeper way. I started attending my friend's church, Addison Bible Church, after I'd come to Christ, and I became involved in the college and career class there. My mother and father thought I had joined a cult, which I know a lot of parents think that when people come to Christ and really see a significant change in their kids. But they did see this change in me. They saw what God was doing. And I was able to share the gospel with them, and they started coming to church with me. My mother came to Christ at a ladies' evangelistic meeting with Johnny Erickson Tata at Medina Temple. And if I'm sure most of you know, Johnny Erickson is a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair now for like 35 years. And she has been greatly used of God to minister to people who, you know, are going through deep suffering and people with disabilities. So we had heard that Johnny was going to be in town, so my roommate and I, Debbie, and I and my mom and Debbie's mother, we all went to this meeting to hear Johnny Erickson. And Johnny was giving the invitation to come to Christ, and at the end of the meeting, and all of our heads were bowed, and my mother was sitting next to me. She was in her wheelchair next to me. And we were praying, had our heads bowed, and at the end of the prayer, when I lifted my head, my mother was gone, and I didn't even hear her wheeled away or anything. So she had wheeled herself to the counseling room to talk with the counselor, and she came to Christ that night. So she was no longer a slave to alcohol, and she was a servant of Christ. She still struggled with depression after that, but God was good, and God helped her through that. God was faithful to me in my single years. I had such sweet fellowship with him and other believers. I was baptized in Lake Superior on a church retreat by Jerry Sowen. And Jerry and Kathy were a big part of my life in first becoming a Christian, the group of people that we were involved in with church. There was just sweet fellowship with there. We saw just God do some really great things and had intimate times of fellowship with Christ and with each other. The Lord also provided dear Christian sisters as roommates to me throughout the years. One in particular, my girlfriend Marge, we have been friends for, 30-something years, and through the single years, she was single too, and we just had sweet fellowship together and were able to encourage one another. I worked at Elmhurst Hospital for many years as a nurse, God providing opportunities to minister to patients and families, comforting them in their sorrow and sharing Jesus with them. I had much joy in doing that. I also had a desire to be married and thought I would probably be married probably by the age of about 26, but that was not in God's plan. I would find the one whom my soul loves at the age of 41, quite a few years later. There were many nights of tears, praying, and pouring out my heart to God concerning marriage and needing to surrender this area of my life to him, saying, Lord, if you want me to be single for the rest of my life, that is what I want, because I know wherever you want me is going to be the best place. Well, in the year 2000, the Lord brought a wonderful man, my husband Ray, and his sweet daughter Brittany into my life. As you've heard, Ray had lost his wife to breast cancer, and Brittany had lost her mother. They had been through great difficulty and a great sorrow. But God in his providence brought us together as a family. On our last night of Awana, Ray asked me out for coffee and later to dinner. While in the car on our first date, as I sat next to him, I was wondering where, oh, there he is. The man of my dreams, And I was just listening to him talk, and I was just looking at him as he was driving, and I thought to myself, you know, I think I could live with this man for the rest of my life. And I had never felt like that with anybody else that I had ever dated before. So 1 year later, we were married. And a year and a half later, in God's providence, he gave us another daughter, our sweet Aubrey. God indeed has been faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I was doing the testimony, the song came into my mind, He's Been Faithful by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. So we just wanted to sing that song as an ending here.
You know, the first time I read about, in Hebrews, about the great cloud of witnesses, I was thinking it was just the people in the Bible, but isn't it wonderful that we have a cloud of witnesses among us right now that can testify to how great God is? He has been faithful.
Back his love and mercy I see.
been faithful.